Okay, hey, we're
Hey.
recording.
Yep.
So, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
I'm doing well.
All right.
Just for the fact that this is our first one together, let's why don't we say a little bit about our backgrounds here? Then we won't have to do it anymore.
All right.
You want to start, or should I?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, my name's Art, and I am the curator and writer for scapefoo.com, a blog that is focused on the planted aquarium hobby and really the aquascaping of freshwater aquarium plants, planted aquariums. A little bit about my background. I've been running this podcast for a few episodes now and have been in the hobby for a good number of years. Some of you may know me from APC, Aquatic Plant Central, which I founded but passed on as life got busy. So that's a little bit about me. How about you, JJ?
Well, my name's JJ. Been keeping plant aquariums, I don't know, about 6, 7 years now. Actually a little longer than that, but really got into it 6, 7 years ago. And I'm on APC a little bit, Jerry BFORL, the bar report, and obviously the site you started, Florida Aquarium Plant Society. And that's about it, I
That last one we should probably plug every once in a while. I think we being in South Florida and having Florida Aquatic Nursery like next door to us,
Yeah, it's a nice facility.
it's a great facility, but it's
Yeah.
shameful that we have so few hobbyists and no club.
Well, I think the problem is that there's not few hobbyists. I think the problem is that people just aren't getting into the club thing.
What is it, do you think, huh? Is there too much to do in South Florida?
I really don't know. I've been trying to get a club going for, I
Yes, you
want to say the
have.
better part of 3 years. I put numerous posts on APC, and I actually had a nice thing going, and unfortunately, I think a club member from the local Gold Coast killed that a little bit.
Oh, I didn't
And
hear about that, but okay.
yeah, but I think the most part is that people are just thinking that they're going to have to assume some sort of responsibility or something. I'm not really too sure, but I think that's something to do with it.
That's maybe that's something to do with it. Maybe it's just getting people to show.
That too.
Yeah, and I'm actually in San Francisco today,
Wow.
and last week I was in Texas, so I got to visit.
That's my
Is it
hometown.
really?
Yeah, Dallas.
Okay, I didn't hit Dallas, but I hit Austin and Houston.
Okay, nice towns.
Yeah, and in Houston are our friends at Aquarium Design Group, ADG.
Yeah, the Sineskis are.
Right, and I visited with Frank there, who's very active and posts on Planet Tank and whatnot. Great facilities. I can't wait till they open it up to the public. But they have a pretty good, the Dallas Fort Worth Club is pretty good.
Yeah, they have a really nice club. I've actually chimed, I mean, not chimed in, but I've taken a peek a few times at their website and stuff, in case I ever go back home, I'd be interested in getting to that club.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and I met a lot of them at the AGA convention the last
Yeah,
week.
I met Texas gal and her husband. They were there.
Yeah, Luis was there, and a bunch of others that are longtime plant people.
Yeah, what was it, Luis Gutierrez, right?
Oh God, I
I
hope he
don't
doesn't
remember.
listen
No,
to it.
I'm
I don't
sorry,
remember his last name.
Luis Navarro.
Luis Navarro, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, a great aquascaper.
Yes. In fact, he did the Iron Aquascaper
Yes, that
contest.
he did. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see that. I was at work, so.
Well, I have a write-up on the blog that I sort of critique them a little bit. Obviously, with no basis with which to do it, but I did it anyway.
Yeah.
And so I found that, you know, they had a good store, local store, active membership. They had a great club. And now I'm in San Francisco where you have Aqua Forest, I believe, which is the other Amano importer.
I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, it's Aqua Forest. You can Google it.
Yeah.
And I just came back from meeting with – who did I meet with? With George with Stephen Lowe. Took some great pictures. I'm going to put them up on the blog now too, and I'll put them up at the Florida Aquatic Plant Society forum too.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Another great shop, probably the best shop I've seen with plants. Wait till you see the pictures here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is exclusively fresh water for a store that's very unusual in the U.S. And they too, you know, they here in California have some great clubs up here in Northern California, and then you have Scape down south.
They got the Sacramento club.
Right. So, you know, there's got to be something to it. Good club, good retailers, and it's working. We just need to do something like that in South Florida, and I'm sure those people listening in other parts of the U.S. or the country or the really the world, I think.
Yeah.
If those of you that are out there that have a good thing going, a good club, good stores, good activity, if you can send in some emails on this and let us know what's working, that would be great.
Yes, it would.
Because we need all the help we can get there.
Yep.
Anyway, that's enough about South Florida. I'm sure there's going to be others listening from
around us. Yep.
That don't care about us in South Florida.
Yeah.
But listen, a little bit about this podcast. I started this podcast really interviewing, I don't want to call them celebrities, but well-known people. But,
yeah, known in the hobby.
Right. And my point was, and my major thrust of this podcast was to try and get this hobby that we both like better known in the U.S., bring it up to a point where, you know what, it's competing with the reef aquarium and the saltwater aquarium, and if maybe not that, at least it's a lot bigger than what it is today. And I started by doing these interviews, by showing people and well, I guess not showing, talking with people so that others can listen and learn about where the hobby was in the past and how it's gotten to where it is today.
Yeah.
And today, if I go to, you know, Planet Tank, which I think is probably the largest Planet Aquarium forum, right? I mean, you have a huge amount of people on there, all talking plants. So I am hopeful that things are going in the right direction. But you and I are now talking on a podcast with a purpose, right? And that's to grow this hobby. You know, what do you think we should be talking about in this podcast? I mean, what do you think people would like to hear?
Well, for starters, I've noticed that in the local club here that when I go, that the problem that some of the people have is that they're scared of the CO2 and the lights and that all that stuff, it throws them off, you know, and it's, you know, it's a learning process, but at the same time, they're a little scared to try to jump into that, you know, and I think that that's a big issue, a big problem with that. And I think I told you in an email or something, in October, I'm doing a presentation there on a low light setup to try to get them more involved in it, to see that it's not that hard to do and that, you know, introducing a little CO2 into things doesn't bother too much unless you don't know how to keep things balanced, you know. And I think that's another issue, is people keeping things balanced. And what I mean balanced is, as you well know, is the light, CO2, and the fertilization.
Right. You know, that's a great point. I think I think you're right. Right. I think there's a lot of people that look at the aquariums and go, "Wow, that's amazing," but I have no clue how to do it.
Yeah, I can never. They tell themselves, "I can never do that."
Right. Right. So do you think it's just, I mean, because is it a lack of information?
I think it's more psychological than it is actually doing it.
Right.
I think, like I said, I think they psych themselves out and they see an amazing tank, because Lord knows, you know, I've seen some of Amano's, or I've seen, I'm sorry, his name's the German guy.
The German guy.
Oliver Knott.
Oliver Knott, yes, absolutely.
I've seen some of his some of their scapes, and they're beautiful. They're amazing, and you're like, it just blow you away, and you're like, wow, I don't think I could ever do that.
Right.
You know, but as you get deeper into the hobby and you – it's practice. You know, practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the better you get. And I'm sure those guys at one point or another – even Jason Balaban here in the States, he's another great aquascaper. And I'm sure those guys, when they started out, they were kind of like everybody else. You know, what do I do?
Yeah. No, absolutely. You start looking at really the masters out there, and you start just trying to imitate and learning as much as you can. You know, I was the first importer of Amano products into the U.S. many years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he said when I was trying to explain to him that the current market in the U.S. back then was not the same as the international market.
Yeah.
He said that in Japan, it wasn't always the way it is now. And that it took him many years of getting out in the market, putting his aquascapes out there so that people fell in love with them, and then showing them how to get there, giving them the tools with which to get there. That was his motivation for starting Aqua Design Amano. And he had a booklet called the something manual. I don't even know what it's called now, but I'm sure it's still available online. But that was his first little brochure that he would hand out everywhere. And it was a how-to guide, man. From you start with the bear aquarium, you do this next, that next, this next, and you end
step
up
by,
with this.
Step by step.
Step by step how-to. And he said that that was very helpful in getting the how-to out there so that people knew how to follow and do what he was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have that today. I know we have the Amano version of it, but I don't know if we have a go-to American book that you know, it's easy to find. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was at the ALA convention yesterday, the American Libraries Association. There was a guy there that had a nice book stand up, basically, and there was a couple of good planted books there, which I was shocked to see. And one of them was Crystal Castleman, and she's a really good. She knows a lot about the plants, and she's been around the world traveling and puts her information out. But the only problem with that is most of her books are in German. This one, fortunately, happens to be translated.
Right.
And I found another book that it was the first one I ever seen like it before, and it had pictures of all the plants in it. And you, like you're saying, you just don't see those kind of books out there where it shows you what this is and what that is, and then there's no step for step, you know, how you get from point A to point B to point G, for example.
Right.
And I know when I first started really getting the tanks, you know, I was at a local fish store, and the guys there, you know, they would help me, but it turns out that some of their advice wasn't the best advice, and the only thing I learned was just trial and error, and unfortunately, I spent a lot of money figuring that out.
Yeah, I think we all have, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many plants I've killed.
Yeah.
I was just in these two stores that I was telling you, and here are retailers, and their main focus is freshwater aquarium plants. And I walk in there, and nowhere to be found is a book that they can sell to a customer that's a newbie
that
says,
here.
Here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You
You're
want
right.
that?
There's
Here's
not
what
any.
You need. And, you know, I think the only option people have are looking at those TFH and those
the forums. The forums help a lot, but
the forums help a lot. But you know what?
There's not that start here, start there, and then there's everybody's opinion on this and everybody's opinion on that. You know, and sometimes the opinions aren't correct.
Right. So if you have somebody who says, you know, I really like those Amano aquariums, I want to set one up in my house, they show up to plant a tank or APC or the bar report. And it's intimidating, man. Where do you start?
Yep, exactly.
And there's no how-to guide there either. So you got to start digging and digging and digging and hope that the search function works. Yeah. And how are you going to use the search function when you don't even know what the terminology is that you're looking for?
Well, what I found with the forums is that sometimes you're lucky enough if you get the right person to start helping you, because sometimes I've noticed that threads just go ignored and nobody even responds to them a lot of the times. Because for the most part, some of those people in the forums, they've been on there for a long time and they've been in the hobby for a long time. Then they look at it as if, well, that's a waste of my time.
Right.
And they don't respond.
Exactly. Right.
I found that to be a trend on a lot of the forums as well. That even the bar report.
So I think what we're agreeing here is the fact that they're really – to be a newbie and
it's not fun.
It's not fun. Exactly. And it's not easy. And there's a huge gap that you need to bridge there before you start feeling comfortable and you're going to stick with this hobby. And I think that obstacles to entry really are limiting what we have with our hobby. And if you look at the other side, the reef side,
yep.
The saltwater side, and now I will admit here on the semi-air, I went to the dark side after many, many years of being plants, and it was relatively easy for me to pick up a few books and just go through them, and I knew what equipment to buy, why I was buying it, what I was going to expect, and followed sort of a recipe. So I think we're onto something here, JJ.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I look at some of the older version books, you know, and I look at some of the, you know, they have some step by step, but there's a lot of stuff in there that you really, you know, that you don't need. Like, for example, you know, what's the big debate on cable heaters?
Right.
You know, on the substrate. And I remember at the AGA, I asked Klaus Christensen about
sure.
that. And, you know, he's a very knowledgeable guy.
Yes, he is.
And he said, "Do you think that there's cable heaters in the wild?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." And he said, "Well, what do you think heats them?" I said, "I'm assuming that's the sun." And he said, "Exactly." He goes, "It's just a waste of time and money to put cable heaters in your substrate."
Right. You know, that there was a when I started in the hobby, it was because of the Optimum Aquarium book by a company called Dupla.
Okay.
And they had the 10 golden rules. And it was a book basically saying what we're talking about. Here's the how-to guide. Here's why. Here's all the science behind it. Do these 10 things, and you're going to have an aquarium like this. And by the way, here are our products, and you could buy them all. One of the rules was the cable heating. And that was a huge debate back then.
Yeah, it still kind of is.
You know,
I still see people in the bar report asking, you know, should I put the cable heater or shouldn't I put the cable heater? You know, and some people say yay, some people say nay.
Well, I don't think it's necessary, and that's clearly been proven over the years. Amano also had a heating plate initially.
Oh, did it? I think I might have seen that. It looked like kind of like a radiator.
It's like a radiator, and it had an angle.
Yeah.
My personal feeling on that is that it's not necessary. Typically, in most homes, the heater would rarely turn on anyway because temps are not really fluctuating that much inside the house. But in those places where it does get cold and there is radiant heating on the bottom, it's not because the roots need it or anything like that, but it does...
It helps with the convection.
Exactly. And you know, I know, you know, I'll get a bunch of emails on this if somebody hears this. Yeah. And certainly those that used to be a part of the Aquatic Plant Digest, a big discussion on there in the past over fluid dynamics and really does it really create that convective current that we would theorize is there. But if you have money to burn, hey, why not?
Well, I can tell you from experience, I've tried the cable heater and
oh, you have?
It's right now curled up, I mean, rolled up in the bottom of one of my stands. It's no longer in there because I found, you know, for starters, you got that cable sticking out and
right.
you can see it and it's not attractive seeing it. And secondly, you know, I didn't really notice much of a difference.
Yeah. I haven't used them since the early 90s. And what I used was the Dupla cables. I've been fine ever since. So I don't think it's an issue.
People ask me that and I say, don't bother.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
How did we get on cable heaters?
Do what now?
How did we get on this topic?
I have no idea. I think I brought it up.
Okay.
But I, you know, going back to the whole convection thing, you know, what I've learned from on the bar report is that, you know, it's important to fertilize not only the substrate, but the water column as well.
Yeah.
And if you got both of them fertilized, then your heavily rooted plants will do well as your stem plants, because they're getting the nutrients from the water column itself.
Right.
So I think that that's probably more important than using a cable heater and trying to create a convection with, you know, trying to bring that. The whole idea of the convection is to bring the nutrients down into the root system.
Right.
Well, if you put the newts right inside at the root system, there's no importance to the cable heaters or the convection theory.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think since we're touching all these controversial issues, as you know, I think there's a group, a camp, I think there's even on Planet Tank a thread on people that call themselves the Dirt. What is it? The Dirt family, the Dirt fraternity, or something like that.
I don't know. I'm not on. I don't. I've never really been on the Planet Tank forum. So,
well, they have a group that's all about MTS, right? Mineralized
topsoil,
right? And very rich substrate. Now, for some plants, that works very well.
Yeah, like your crypts and your
right.
Echinodoruses,
exactly.
And the cryniums and things like that.
For those plants that prefer, have a preference to take up nutrients by way of roots.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a camp that thinks, you know what, that's a ticking time bomb. Do the water column fertilization. By and large, all plants will do okay, because there's
yeah.
those that are not root feeders that are going to do great, and the root feeders can nevertheless get that, and with the sufficient exchange of water and nutrients up and down through the substrate solution,
exactly,
you should be fine anyway. And that's kind of, I think, been popularized very much so by Tom Barr.
Yeah, that's where I got the whole concept from, was from him.
Right, in the
EI. I was fortunate enough to meet him. You know, a friend of mine up in Boca did a really big tank, and he flew Tom out here to scape his tank for him. And I got to spend
me? Wow,
Jerry D. Jerry
oh
D
Jerry,
the,
I didn't know yeah. he did that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he flew Tom out to scape his tank. So I was, you know, and I was fortunate enough. Jerry invited me up, and you know, I got to pick Tom's brain a little bit. I even got to help him, you know, scape one of the tanks that Jerry had at the time. So, you know, and getting to watch him do it, you know, was pretty cool. But getting to pick his brain about it, and that was one of the things we talked about, was fertilizing. And he said it's important to get the substrate and the column.
Yeah. I've mellowed out over the years, I got to tell you, because before I wasn't a huge fan of the dosing large amounts into the water column, then having to do 50% water changes.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work, man. And
it is, and it isn't. You know, it just it. For example, I have a 29 gallon that's sitting right here on my right hand shoulder, and it looks amazing. And I fertilize it EI every day, and I do a 50% water change, and it takes me, I'd say, give or take half an hour to drain half the water and put it back in. But that's important to the EI system, because the concentrations of the nutrients, dilute them, then the concentration will keep building up, and it'll actually harm the plants and the fish, I'm assuming.
Are you using RO or DI or just straight tap?
You know, I was using RO, and but that was more of a pain in the butt for me using the RO than it was anything else. But I've been using the tap in this, and it's
working.
Fine. It's perfectly fine.
That Miami tap, man.
Yeah, you know, it's hit or miss, man. Sometimes it comes out and it's really hard, and then other times it comes out, you know, and it's not so hard. You know, I have a pH monitor on there right now, and it, you know, it'll be, when I put the tap in, it'll go up to like 7.2, 7.3.
Yeah.
But then after a few days, it drops down to, you know, in the mid six area, and it stays there. It doesn't really fluctuate too much. So, you know, I had a friend of mine who told me that, you know, the tap water we have a temporary hardness down here.
Yep.
So, you know, and now I didn't believe him, but now that I use my pH meter and I'm seeing it, I you know, now I'm believing him. So
yeah, I have a friend that works for the water system, and you need to be careful, especially with the chlorine.
Yeah, because they do that the chlorine dump or whatever,
right?
It is,
exactly,
twice a year or something.
Super chlorination, and if you just time it wrong, that'll wipe you out.
I actually had a friend that got on the bad end of that once.
Yep. So, my theory is tap is good as long as you are careful with it and test and certainly dechlorinate before you put it in there. But anyway, I was, I guess, combination of lazy or busy or whatever you want to call it, and those water changes were a killer for me. You know, my aquarium was a little bigger. So, you know, the more water, more buckets you got, and then, you know, you become a member of the bucket brigade, water everywhere, it's a real pain.
Well, I used to do the bucket system, and I got tired of that. What I use now is I got an old-fashioned water hose.
Right.
And I got a pump. And the water hose goes into the pump, and I stick it right in about little halfway down.
Yep.
And plug it in. I let it go right down the drain.
Right.
And that takes away the maintenance part.
That's a key point, man. If you can find a routine that is easy for you, means you're going to do it. And that's really what your aquarium needs, that stability of getting that done routinely, consistently.
If you do it that way, it's pretty easy, you know, and then all you got to do is just drain the rest of the water that's in the hose, drain it out, and then plug it right back into the tap and turn it on, and, you know, and it punches it right back in.
Right.
Fresh water right back in, you know, and it's hands-free at that point, you know.
And then at that point, all you do is add back the whatever the EI is telling you to add back, and that's it?
Yeah, the you know, EI, you dose 3 days of macros and 3 days of micros, and on the seventh day, you do your water change.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's really not hard. You know, especially once you get, like you said, a schedule going, you get used to it. You know, okay, today I got to, you know, use a fourth of a teaspoon of the KN03, or tomorrow I got to use a teaspoon of the MSN plus B. You know.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to tell you my automatic system, because to get I travel so much, to get my wife or my kids to do that is impossible.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a way to set it up automatically, and well, maybe that's another podcast we'll do. But
yeah, that's another monster we want to open up another day.
But the reason I am now a convert to EI is, I started APC, and I would spend a lot of time trying to explain to newbies fertilization.
Yeah.
And there was a progression of methods, and I don't know if you remember poor man's PMDD, poor man's Dupla drops.
Yeah, that's where you take the dry ferts and you mix them with water and
right, and you basically get
your own.
You roll your own, but it was very targeted, and it was drops, and by the way, out there it really is poor man's Dupla drops. Yeah. That's the original. Then everybody got afraid that we were going to get sued because we were using Dupla.
That's funny, because I never knew what the PMDD stood for.
Yeah, and then it got switched to poor man's dosing drops. But that was the beginning of it. And then a couple of people one person in APC came up with another method that really looks to adding enough fertilizer based on your plant mass and your water parameters and your size. And
that sounds like a pain in the butt also.
It's very exact, and there's no waste. There's no super fertilization, which obviously requires you to water change less. But as I would explaining the math to newbies, one of them, I remember to this day, told me, can't I just dump all this stuff in there and then just do a water change? And I go, you know what? You're absolutely right. It's going to be a lot easier. Here's this quarter teaspoon. There you go. Do your 50% water change. You're good. So it became a lot easier to explain to people new to the hobby.
Yeah.
Also, I do want to give credit to Tom. There was a period of time where phosphates and certainly nitrates were a huge no-no.
Yeah, but now you know that plants actually need those.
Right.
You know, I dose my tank with the KNO3, which is a nitrate.
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew they needed them back then too. The problem is we thought that algae
would be, yeah,
were better at grabbing it. So
I've learned this from experience. One time I accidentally scooped the wrong the wrong batch of stuff, and it was actually put in too much of the monopotassium phosphate.
Ouch.
Yeah, had a nice bloom of algae the next few weeks. So I've learned that one from experience.
Yeah.
So there is truth to the phosphates.
there is, and you know,
but
the algae
in small quantities and you know, concentrations, it allows the plants to absorb it faster than the algae does itself, and that's how the plants outcompete the algae.
Exactly. It's all about the ranges.
Exactly.
As Tom says. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on EI that people, especially in the bar report.
Yeah, especially on the bar report.
That people can go over there and see all the different methods people are using. It works.
If you saw the thread I put on our forum, I actually put one on there trying to, you know, show people that here's the EI and this is what it is and it's what it's about.
Yeah, so maybe we should link that on show notes. So I'll go ahead and do that. So yeah, I mean, I think today fertilization in terms of what to add, putting aside CO2, pretty simple, right? I mean,
pretty simple.
These things, what size aquarium you got, start with this and then do your water changes. That's fine. And the water changes help so much, not only with the keeping the right, preventing and over concentration of a nutrient, but at the same time, you're removing waste. You're bringing in fresh water.
Yeah,
has a lot of other benefits.
You're putting new oxygen into the biomass that's going into the filter.
Exactly right. So there's a lot of benefits to it. Now, you mentioned CO2, right?
Yeah.
Now CO2 is in its essence, it's not complicated. We need to give carbon to the plants.
Carbon's the basic building blocks of all of life.
Exactly. So by giving them carbon, they can grow better, right?
Yeah, now, better.
Do we need carbon dioxide in an aquarium to have plants in it?
No.
Okay. So there are aquariums out there that people are keeping with no artificial CO2 being added.
I have a 75 right now that's low light, no CO2.
There you go. So it's, I think, a myth that people have out there thinking, oh, if I'm not going to invest in a CO2 system.
Certain kinds of plants, they don't do well with the minimums.
Right.
But there's only a small list of that. There's hundreds of plants that can be used with very minimum light. No CO2, but you know, that's, and it's also based if how well you got the plant, the tank stocked with plants, you know, how densely it's planted, and it also how many fish you have in there, because like mine, I don't fertilize it. It's fertilized from the waste from the fish.
Okay. That's going how really it's natural. Did you follow the Wallstead?
You know, I've heard of her concept, but I've never really read her book or anything.
Okay.
I've asked this a few times on the bar report, and I spoke to Jerry about it, And, you know, because he used to do the same thing. You know, he had low light. He did use CO2 in some of his, in one of his tanks, but he started out with low light, no CO2, and it was just heavily stocked with fish. And the only problem I'm having right now with it is diatoms. And from what I'm reading, that's lack of lighting.
Yep.
So I may have to bump my lights up a little bit. But I use T8 shop fixtures from Home Depot on it. And my plants grow fine.
Yep. Yeah.
I have red tiger lotuses in there that look great.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they're nice and red. But see, I always thought that the coloration was due to the lighting, and I found that it's not, and my tank is proving that right now with the minimum light. You know, I used a par meter, and it's like I want to say 35 to 40 micromoles at the substrate, which is not a whole lot of light. But yet here I got this nice, and the plants don't get tall. I mean, the tiger lotuses, they don't get tall and reach for the surface and everything because of that minimum lighting. They grow slowly. But what I've noticed is that once I plug the fertilizers in there underneath them in the roots, that's where they get their nice colorations from the iron and stuff in the fertilizing. And I think that's where a lot of people get lost also. You know, I was, like I said, I was confused on it for years until I did this tank. And now I'm seeing, oh, okay, I can grow this without a lot of light. Okay, what else can I grow without a lot of light?
Well, that's it, right? I think you hit the nail on the head. There are trade-offs. You're not going to put a plant in there that everybody knows is a high light demanding plant.
Like a Rotella Wallachii, you know, you can't put that in there and expect for it to do good. You know, some of the Ludwigias you can get away with. You know, like you can put narrow leaf in there or the broadleafs in there. They do fine. You know, even some of the Bacopas do fine. Minari or Moneywort, whatever you want to call it, it does fine also in there. So, you know, they're Crips, the Cryptocroines,
yep,
or Cryptocroines.
I call them Cryptocorini.
I call them Cryptocroines. Huh?
Who knows?
Whatever they are. But, you know, they do good. They don't grow as fast. And that's the one thing that the CO2 does, I think, is it helps the plant, and the bright lights is that it you know, it's an engine, and that's basically the gasoline for the engine of the plant. And if you take away those, then what happens to your car when it runs out of gas? It stops. If it, or it slows down, whatever. That's what happens with these plants when you take away the basics that they need. You know, you take away a lot of the fertilizing, you take away the heavy lighting, you take away the CO2, they slow down. Their metabolism slow down. And I've noticed that in several species of plants that I've tried in there, you know. So I CO2 is it's a good thing. But like I said, like at the beginning of the podcast, you know, what I said about balance, you know, if you got too much of one thing and not enough of the other, it just throws everything out of balance.
Yeah, you know, I've often struggled with that word balance, you know, because I don't know if there's such a thing as balance. But it's a tough one, right? Because you do want to balance. If I have slow growing plants, if I have low lights, well, then obviously I don't want to pump in there a lot of fertilizer.
Exactly.
Right? I need to consequently reduce my fertilizer to balance out the light.
Yeah, you could probably get away with once a week, or like with the EI once a week.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think what we're saying here is it really depends on the type of aquarium you want to keep.
It depends on what you're doing with your specific tank. It's not in general.
Exactly. So one of the first questions I always ask people when they're saying, hey, can, you know, I want to get into it, is, well, what type of of aquarium do you want to keep?
Exactly. I've asked that numerous questions when I get newbies on the forum or whatever, and they ask on the bar report or whatever, I say, well, what do you want to keep?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, how much time do you want to devote to it?
Low lights. You want nice, you know, bright light plants, or you want nice plants that don't need a lot of maintenance.
Right. Now, on the flip side, though, high light, high tech tanks.
Yep.
then that's where you get to, yeah, spend a lot of money on them, but at the same time, man, those gadgets are really cool.
Yeah, and that some of the most beautiful tanks you see are highlight tanks. You know, I'm partial to the Dutch style tanks.
Right.
I think they're amazing. I love the usage of the plants. I like variety of plants. You know, a mono stuff is nice, but it
Right.
for my taste, it's too few of it's too simple.
Well, you're bringing up a great point, which is the different styles, right? I don't think there's one style that if you want to have a high-tech planet aquarium, this is it. This is
Yeah,
what you need to do.
you can do anything that you want with a high-tech tank. You can do any kind of style you want.
Yeah, and if people don't know out there, I mean, you raised the Dutch style, which is the traditional style. They've been doing it for years and
Years
years
and
and
years and
years.
years. Yep.
There's the Amano, the nature aquarium style, which has
Yep.
sort of come out of Japan, and that's a style.
Yeah, and they're great aquascapers.
They're great aquascapers, but I gotta tell you, there's other aquascapers out there coming from Brazil,
Yep.
coming from Spain.
We got
There's
some in the
it.
States here.
Some in the States, some in Italy,
In
the
England,
Chinese,
the Green Machine, I've
the
seen them
Green
on you.
Machine is,
They
yes.
have some fantastic tanks.
They really do, and they're my buddies. They're, you know, I don't know what's, here's an aside. I'm on Twitter with Skate Fu, and there's nobody in the U.S. using, at least that are into plants, using Twitter.
I'm not a
Yeah,
Twitterer
nobody is. They're all in the UK, so I got all these UK buddies over there, which is great because I get to see what's happening, and the Spanish and the Brazilians are all over Twitter. So I think I know more about UK APS, the UK Aquatic Plant Society forums, which George Farmer is the main thrust there, and a tremendous aquascaper.
He is the Green Machine, right?
What, no, I think I'm forgetting. I think it's
I've
Dave
heard it.
Findlay.
I've heard his name. I don't
Yes,
remember where I've seen that.
they're connected, and Victor Lagos, which sorry, Victor, I'm
George
forgetting.
Farmer, he's the head of the UK, right?
He's one of the founders there.
Yeah, okay,
Yeah.
that's where I've heard his name from.
Yeah, and he's on YouTube, and you know, and I know we're going everywhere here. I hopefully
Yeah.
people can
Well,
follow us, but
it's our first
it's our first,
podcast
yeah, bear with us, but
together,
we need, and I made a post about this before. We need a U.S. Amano. We need a U.S. George Farmer, somebody who's going to be the person out there in the limelight, doing the YouTube videos, doing the pictures, trying to get a book together, going to the press. Going to all these conventions, whether it's the ALA or the AGA,
AGA,
which,
yeah.
by the way, November 1 through the 4th,
You know,
St.
I, the
Louis.
per, the person, the you know, the few that I see, you know, is the guys out in Houston, the Sineskis, Navarro, Jason Balaban. You know, like I said, all those guys are great aquascapers. You know, it's just if they're willing to take that next step.
Don't get me wrong. I think we have some
Oh, there
great
is.
world-class level aquascapers here.
Yep, there really are.
But they haven't taken it on their shoulders to say, I'm going to be the face of the U.S. aquascaping scene. Kind of like George has done it for the U.K. And I can probably name you the front aquascapers, face aquascapers, if you will, for a bunch of countries. But I can't do it here in the US. I don't know who it is. There's no one. There's a lot of good ones, but nobody is that face of the US aquascaping scene.
Yeah.
Now, it certainly could be Balaban.
Yes, because you know I've seen like you have one of his tanks on the front page of the forum of our forum, and I've seen some of his on you know he has what's the name of his site? I'm sorry, forgive me, I can't remember the name of his site right now, but he's actually tried to do that on his site, and you know he would. With some of the step-by-step stuff and some of the stuff that he uses to incorporate in his tanks with his style, you know, how does he do this, how he does that. And, you know, he's the one guy that I could see actually doing it.
We need him out more. We need to
Yes.
come on, Balaban. I have been to a site recently, and I don't know if he's been posting recently, but I think that's part of the secret sauce that we have missing here in the U.S. We don't have that one guy that's constantly.
Yeah, we don't have the go-to guy.
Yeah, that's placing well in the international aquatic plant layout contests and the AGA contests and whatnot. So we need somebody there. Maybe it's you, JJ.
I'm not that gifted of an aquascaper. I'm not artistically inclined.
Not yet. I mean, Amano said he didn't do any of that stuff until he could keep the plants alive.
Well, see, I'm at that stage right now where I'm starting to keep them alive. And, you know, I learned, like, when Tom was here, I learned a lot of the stuff. You know, some what he does is he takes his, you know, his manzanita wood that he uses.
Yep.
And he uses those and he creates almost streets, basically, with the branches. You know, he'll have a nice piece coming out of the substrate.
Yep.
That's the main focal point. But then he'll have, you know, when you see aquascaping, a lot of people refer to the lines.
Yep.
And you see a lot of lines going in one way. And what he does is he'll take several branches and he'll make lines with them, basically creating avenues or something. And in each avenue, he'll put something different. I like that to an extent, but sometimes I think some of his tanks I've seen, it's overused just a little bit.
Right.
And I've noticed in my little 29 right now, because my other tanks are getting there where I want them at. But I've tried his way that I saw him do it, but with my twist, and it works if you use the right combination of plants and you minimize it also. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make it busy. You don't want to have three or four, you know, five streets with five different plants in each one, because then it's kind of like, okay, what do you have going on here? And that's the thing where going back to the Dutch, they blend all the plants so beautifully. You know, you'll see one group of stems almost wrapped around another group of stems, you know, that's standing, you know, standing there. And it's just amazing how they do that. And that's what I'm trying to get to.
Are you going to try and get to the AGA this year?
I'm going to try.
It's going to be nice. Niels Jacobsen's going.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get up there and do that. It would be nice to do it.
Tom's gonna be speaking as well, from what I understand.
They got Tom this year?
They got Tom, they got Niels. Niels is the foremost expert, I would say, alive today on Cryptocoryne.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to that. And
are you going up there?
I am making plans to get up there now. I mean, it's still a long way off, so yeah, it's kind of tough. But
was it November, right?
November 1 through the 4th.
Yeah, the only problem with me is that I work in the restaurant business, so it's hard to get those weekends off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to do that.
Yeah, Niels is a big deal.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the one that we had here in Fort Lauderdale a couple years ago. You know, that's where I met you for the first time.
Right.
And you know,
that was fun.
I didn't get to do all of it, you know, because of work. Like, you know, I missed Ganzafari's talk on Cryptocoryne's and you know, I missed Jason Balaban's photography presentation. But I did get to see, you know, Karen Randall talk about how the tanks are graded and what they look for in the tanks.
Right.
You know, and I did see I'm the professor from Florida.
Michael Kane.
Professor Kane. I saw his, and the auction was very nice. There was a lot of cool plants there, and if you stuck around long enough, you got some great deals on some great plants. That was and then get to see Florida Aquatic Nurseries was pretty good. Was pretty cool, because I had no idea that it was two facilities, and each facility itself is pretty stellar, you know, especially their big grow houses, you know, their big greenhouses they have. And I have a nice picture that I was forwarded from I'm sorry, his name is coming to a blank. He just passed away recently. The former president of the AGA.
Oh yeah. I'm drawing a blank too.
But you know, he's from Dallas. That's how I started talking to him. But it was funny. We walked into the greenhouse and my camera's batteries just died. So I was a little bummed. And I saw this most amazing row of the golden Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow them immersed. And it was just this amazing. I mean, it was huge. This thing's like, I don't know, 3-4 feet wide by 30-40 feet long. And all it was just a big bush of golden Isaiah. And he had a nice a nice wide angle lens camera, Nikon, and he took a picture for me and he sent it over to me, and that was the highlight, I think, of the thing for me, getting to see the Florida Aquatic Nurseries and how they grow stuff and getting to talk to all the other people a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how many people out there know that Florida Aquatic Nursery provides and sources a huge percentage of the aquatic plants, in the U.S.
I'm pretty sure not many.
Yeah, it's a huge facility. It came very close to being stopped after Hurricane Andrew. I think it was
Andrew. That. Yeah, but, that was the bad one.
Yeah, but it's a second or third generation operation, family run, good people.
Yeah.
So that, we need to
and they have good plants.
Yeah, exactly. They do have good plants, and they're trying to get them into the local fish stores everywhere. It's just,
well, we have one of our guys on the forum, Henry. Forgive me, I have no idea how to say his last name.
Tomasini, I think it is.
Yes. But, Henry, he took it upon himself, and he's trying to, open up he opened up a planted-only, fresh – it's all a fresh-only fish store up in Oakland Park Boulevard, up in Fort Lauderdale. And it's very nice, and, he has a nice selection of fish, ones that you usually see, if you go to the Petcos, the big chains. And then he has some that you don't usually see. And, he has a nice variety of either or. And I think that's good. And the plants as well, and he's usually pretty good. If you want a decent amount of plants, he's pretty good about if you call him ahead of time and give him a list of what you want. He can get you a fresh batch of plants for you. You can go pick up the day that he gets them, And that's, I think that's pretty good to have that kind of resource here for us also.
Right. No, that's fantastic. And I think he's having a grand opening here soon.
Yeah, I copied and pasted from the bar report, and I put it on our forum. So, some of our people in there that see that are locals can see that and try to make it over. And, it not only is it a great resource for us, but if we're there and we're spending money in his shop, it helps keep that hobby alive and it's something to grow on. For our hobby in South Florida as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
If we have one person that's dedicated towards plants.
Yeah, this hobby is going to grow because of those mom and pops. It's not going to be the big box store.
Exactly. Well, we got I call it Big House, but now it's all Fish Emporium. And that's where I've gotten a lot. There's a gentleman there named Eduardo, and I've gotten loads of information from him.
Oh yeah, is he a knowledgeable guy?
He's pretty knowledgeable. He's actually very knowledgeable. You go there and he helps you, and you tell him what you have and what you're doing, and he's able to help you, and he's up to date on all the products, and he's current on the up and coming stuff. He's actually the first guy to tell me to start using fertilizer in the substrate.
Really?
Yeah, he's the because he gets his. I was using from the aquariumplants.com, I was using their substrate fertilizer for the longest, and he's the one that actually got me using that. It was Tom that beat it in my head that says, it's very important that you do it.
Yeah.
Because I was using it, and I wasn't using it, and I was, and I wasn't, I got very lazy with it.
Right.
But he's actually the guy that got me on the right track with, you need this, you need this, you need this.
Fantastic. We need more of those.
Yeah.
It'd be great to showcase them if people let us know. Happy to promote the mom and pops.
Yeah.
Well, JJ, we're at almost 55 minutes of talking here, man.
Yeah.
That's a long time for the first show.
Yeah.
So
I think it was a good chat.
I think it was a good chat. I'd like to hear what everybody else thinks. I think also it'd be great to get some thoughts on what people out there want us to talk about, and if they want us to.
Yeah, give us bullets.
Yeah.
Load the gun.
Load the gun. We may not always agree on techniques or styles or whatever it is.
You know, what I've noticed in the hobby is if it works for you, it works for you.
Exactly right. And there's, I'm not going to use the cat cliche, but there's a lot of ways to end up with good growth of plants